Do not think that the judgment will be any less strict because Jesus is judge. Not at all. The judgment by the Son is the same as that of the Father. Jesus is designated as judge because he came and offered himself as Savior. So those who reject his lordship then will certainly have to confess it there at the day of judgment. Here is the most solemn message I can imagine possible to give to you. It is recorded in Acts 17:31. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance to all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The whole race of mankind, all generations of men, are headed to judgment before God. That is a solemn message indeed. Consider first the appointment. God hath appointed a day. That means he has set a day, a fixed time, determined the date when he will judge. It is a certain and set time in the schedule of God. The Bible repeatedly refers to that date. Hebrews 9:27 reads in part, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." Now, did you catch the word appointed? It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The day is set. The day is definite. The time is determined. 2 Peter 2:9 speaks of God reserving the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 3:7 speaks of the fire which will be manifest in the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 1 John 4:17 refers to the confidence the believer in Jesus Christ will have in the day of judgment. Yes, there is a day determined. That time is appointed. The date is already certain and set in the mind of God. Are you ready for the judgment? Consider second, the scope of the judgment. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Did you catch that? The whole world will come under the judgment of God in that day. Now remember that world means people in the New Testament, not the objects of inanimate creation. It is the principle of Romans 14:12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Everyone means the whole group taken one at a time. It includes the wicked and the righteous. All will be judged. The righteous will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for rewards. The wicked will stand before the great white throne judgment to be judged in view of an eternal destiny in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. But all, whether righteous or wicked, will be judged. Even those persons who live before Jesus Christ came to earth will be judged. Those who heard the truth revealed in Holy Scripture, as well as those who have never heard, will stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. Not one will escape or be excused or overlooked. You will be there, as well as I. Third, consider this principle. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Now, how will God judge the world? He will judge the world in righteousness. That is to say, absolute justice will prevail at that day. It is not always so in the courts of law among men. The innocent is sometimes convicted. The guilty sometimes go free. There is an occasional miscarriage of justice in spite of our best efforts to be honest and fair. But there will be no deviation from absolute justice in the court of God. Whether it is the rewards for faithful service meted out at the judgment seat of Christ when the saints are judged, or the consigning to eternal hell at the great white throne judgment when the sinners are judged, perfect righteousness will be the principle applied in each case. Jude wrote of the day when the Lord would come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon every person and thing which is ungodly. That indicates that since ungodliness will fall under judgment, godliness will be the principle by which judgment is exercised. Make sure you are godly. Fourth, consider the judge. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance to all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The question is, who will be judge? God will judge through his assigned agent. But who will that agent be? There are two identifying marks of the judge at that last day. First, the judge will be one whom the Father has ordained or appointed as judge. And who is that? John 5:22 says, "The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son." So Jesus Christ will be the judge at the last day. God has declared it so by appointing him to that office. Acts 10:42 says, "It is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." Romans 2:16 says, "There is coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ." God has ordained Jesus as judge of all men, saved or unsaved, at that last day. But second, the judge is one whom God has raised from the dead. Now, God has designated Jesus as judge by raising him from the dead. No other has been raised to life from death as was Jesus. He alone is identified as the judge of men. Matthew 25, verses 31 and 32 reads, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Do you think that the judgment will be any less strict because Jesus is judged? Not at all. There is no division among the persons of Holy Trinity. The judgment by the Son is the same as that of the Father. Jesus is designated as judge because he came and offered himself as Savior. And those who rejected his lordship now will certainly have to confess it there at the day of judgment. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, we have come to the end of this survey of the doctrine of God as set forth in the sermon the Apostle Paul delivered to the court of the Greeks on Mars Hill in ancient Athens, Greece. What a doctrine of God it is! In a single address, which covers only 10 verses in our English version of the Bible, he describes God as creator, governor, immanent, self-sufficient, sustainer, sovereign, spirit, holy, judge, and before such a God, we might all fall in humility and worship. Now I propose a solemn question to your heart. What is your relationship to the God of the Bible? I do not mean, do you believe that he exists or that the Bible is the revelation of him? I mean, do you know him in a personal experience of grace by which your sins were taken away and you became his born child? You can know him in that intimate relationship, you know. That is the purpose of the revelation of God to mankind. He wants to fellowship with you in salvation. Settle the sin problem once and for all, right now. Earnestly pray and ask him to become your Savior now through Jesus Christ, and he will. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, Father, what a privilege to call you Father and to have the witness of the Holy Spirit within that you truly are our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Thank you for establishing that relationship with us. Our hearts go out in love and devotion to you. We worship before you now in wonder at your grace and in thanksgiving for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.